This was a podcast recorded at the 2025 Rally Conference, where youth ministries from the Outer East joined together under one name. Enjoy!
Give him a compliment this morning. So good. Well, my name is Aylin, if we haven't had a chance to meet yet, and I'm so excited to be hanging out with you at the rally. Who's having a good time so far at the rally? Who loved last night? Who's ready for a big day? We are in for a great time. I just want to take a moment right now to honor the pastors and leaders who have pulled off today. My husband Dave and I absolutely love Pastor Matt and Holly, and we want to thank the LMC team for hosting us. Come on, can we give it up for them right now for pioneering the rally? Thank you so much, guys. But also, if you love your youth pastor or youth leader in the place, make some noise for them today. We love you. Oh, that was a good bit of feedback. So Dave and I do Youth Alive here in Victoria. We have a lot of fun doing that. And Youth Alive is an organization that's set up to run events where high schoolers can invite their friends to hear a gospel message. We give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel. And this year alone, we've seen 4,400, almost 4,500 young people make decisions to follow Jesus. Come on, you can give Jesus some praise for that. And we love seeing them get connected into local youth ministry. So that's what we do. We have a great time doing it. A bit of my story is in high school, a friend actually invited me along to the local youth ministry. I came from a non-practicing Catholic background. We'd go to church once or twice a year and a Catholic mass, and we'd stand at the back because it was like Christmas or Easter. We couldn't get in, so we'd just turn around and go home. I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't know much about him at all. So when a friend invited me along to the local youth ministry, I rock up on a Friday night. The band are playing slow songs. People had their hands up in the air swaying, and I thought it was a cult. I thought it was weird. I thought, what are these people? Why are people spending their time inside a church on a Friday night? And I felt this uncomfortable feeling in my stomach. It was something I'd never felt before. My friend kept inviting me back. I kept going along. I kept feeling this uncomfortable feeling. And I realized eventually that that feeling would happen when the preacher was talking about Jesus, when the keys were playing. I could feel the people were worshiping. It was actually the Holy Spirit. I'd never felt anything like it before. And I realized the Holy Spirit was drawing me in to make a decision to follow Jesus. I made a decision to follow Jesus one night at youth, and I grew up through high school going to youth every single week. I was sold out. And I loved it. It changed my life completely. When I finished high school, I joined the youth leadership team. When I was there, after serving for a few years, a young man from the country moved to our church to serve in the youth leadership team as well. As soon as I saw him, I liked him straight away. Everyone say, "Oh, I liked him straight." You know when you're like looking at someone across the room and you see them looking at you? Does anyone give me a wave? Come on, give me a wave. Is anyone? Yeah, you know they're looking at you. So this thing would happen. So I liked him straight away, but he liked someone else. Everyone say, "Ooh." But it's okay. I got him. Come on. That's my testimony. That deserves some praise this morning. And we got married on the 12th of the 12th of the 12th. And we have two gorgeous kids together. Seth, who's a four-year-old, a little pocket rocket, and Gia, who's just turned 3 this week. But I know God is real. And he's in the business of changing people's lives and adding people into the kingdom of God because he changed my life. And he added me into the kingdom of God through youth ministry. I believe in youth ministry. I believe in the power that God works through youth ministry to change high schoolers' life. If you believe it as well, turn to the person next to you and say, "Amen." Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning as we get into it. Hey, actually, before we do, why don't we pray? Why don't you lift your hands right across this place if you feel comfortable to God? I thank you that you're going to do something here significant today. I believe you're going to bring faith into the place this morning. I believe you're going to give young people direction. I believe you're going to give young people here today heaven's perspective on their situation. Lord, we invite you into this place. Come and have your way. Come and speak. Our ears are open, ready to listen. If you believe, say amen. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who here has ever been home alone and you hear a noise? Who here? Yep. Give me a nod. Yep. You can make some noise with me this morning as well. You can let me know. You can shout me down. That's all right. And I can handle a good heckle as well. Yeah, yeah. Go for it. Come on. You're like, sorry, you guys are so polite. That is like a heckling. It's like, oh, sorry, sorry. I love it. All right. So I'm home alone once. And who actually likes being home alone? Give me a wave. Okay. There's a few hands. Who likes being home alone at nighttime? Yeah, you, because you're tough. You can take people on. Yeah, everyone else's hands went down. I don't like being home alone, right? So, especially at nighttime. But this time, I was like, it's daytime. It's fine. So, I'm home alone in my house. I'm doing some work in my study. I'm typing away. And I hear a noise in the kitchen. Who here has heard a noise? And it's usually just like the fridge, right? Or it's the dishwasher. Give me a nod if you know what I mean, right? There's just like some weird noise. It's nothing. So, I'm working and I think, it's nothing. Don't worry, Aylin. Just keep working. I keep focusing. I hear it again. This time, it's getting louder. I'm like, okay. What is that going on? And I hear some banging. Now there's banging on my window. And I'm like, what's happening here? There's banging on my wall. I'm like, there is definitely a noise and I'm definitely home alone. What is going on? I can hear it in my kitchen and the noises are getting louder. There's things dropping off my kitchen bench, smashing on the floor. I'm thinking, oh my, I don't know what to do. I can't take someone on. I've got no weapons on me. I'm in the study. I have no idea what I'm going to do. Okay, so I have a plan. I'm going to walk into that place and just start yelling for whoever it is to get out of my house. So I walk down the hallway and I'm bracing myself. And I see these two giant black birds in my house pooing on absolutely everything. They're pooing on the curtains. They're pooing on my dining table. They're pooing on my sofa. They're pooing on my kitchen sponge. They're pooing on my clean kitchen dishes. They're making a mess of the place. They're banging on the windows trying to get out, but they're getting stuck in the curtains. And then they get scared because they're stuck. And then they start, no Siri, now's not the time. And then they get stuck. And so as I get closer to them, they start pooing this black ink everywhere. And I'm repulsed. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get these guys out? And then I'm thinking, if they go upstairs in my house, they're going to just move in. Because once they're upstairs, you won't be able to get them out. So I think quickly, I'm like, okay, I need to get these things out of my house immediately. They're not meant to be here. So I open up all my doors. And I start like making myself as wide as possible to like usher them out the door, yelling, get out, you're not meant to be here. I opened all the doors. They finally left. Can I have a round of applause for that? They finally left. And then I had to start the cleanup process that was going to take me hours and hours of black, sticky, inky, gooey, smelly mess that they had left all over my house. You see, the thing is that someone had left the back door wide open. It was me. I had left the back door wide open. It wasn't shut. It wasn't locked. It was wide open, letting anything come right on in. I want to talk to you this morning about what you let into your life. Hello, segue. And I want to talk to you about having a security system specifically in your mind so you don't let the wrong things come into your thought life. I want to give you some tips today. You know, each of us have countless thoughts every single day. We think about what we're going to have for lunch. Who's thought about that already today? We think about what we're going to have for dinner. What's your mom going to make for dinner? Probably something delicious, Jed. We think about what we have to do tomorrow. We think about what we're going to do next week. What does our mom want us to do? What's on our to-do list? What do we need to do for school? What do we need to do before the end of the holidays? What do we need to do next year? What are we going to do in a couple of years' time? We think about why that person did that. We think about why I said, does anyone ever think, like, why did I say that? And that takes up, give me a wave. Come on, is this just me? Thank you. I see that hand. Who replays conversations and is like, why did I say that? And we have countless thoughts every single day. And the thing is, if we don't have some intentional security around our thought life, we're leaving the door wide on open for any thought just to come in and come and start making a mess in our minds if it's not meant to be there. I want to talk to you about having a security system. I'm not talking about shutting the door, the back door of your physical house at nighttime. I'm talking about shutting the back door in your thought life. So I've got a scripture for you this morning. I want us to pop it on the screen. The lovely Meredith is going to pop that up. Can we just give her a round of applause this morning for working so hard back there along with Cayman? You guys are awesome. It says this in 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians, if you've got your Bibles, open up with me to it. 10, verse 3 says this. For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take, listen to this, And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I love what the ERV says. It says, we also capture every thought. We make it give up and obey Christ. You know, Paul here is writing to the church in Corinth. And Corinth was a very superficial city. It was a place where you could make a lot of money. It was a place where people were drawn to. And status was everything there. Clothes showed your status, what kind of status you had. And Corinth had a bit of a reputation for being loose on morals. The Corinthian Christians were living in a city with loose morals that was focused on status, money, and power with a worldly way of thinking. But you see, they were called to be different. The Corinthian Christians were called to live with different morals, to live with godly values, and to have godly ways of thinking. I love this verse in verse 5. It says we need to take captive. What does take captive mean? You know, when you're in a war, you take captive the enemy. If you find him on your territory, you're not going to like just come right on through, mate. No, you're going to take him captive. And it says every thought, every single one. We're not going to let a couple just sneak in. We're going to submit every idea. We're going to capture every daydream, every thought, and we're going to make it obedient, submit to, and comply with Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we've got three thoughts this morning, three thoughts to help you build a strong security system in your mind so you can step into the freedom, you can step into the peace and the sound mind that God has called you and I to have. The first thought I have for you this morning is this. Number one, recognize. Number one, recognize. Who here has ever flown overseas before? Give me a wave. Yeah, a few hands. Who here has ever come back into Australia and you realize that Australia's a bit intense about what they let into the country and what they don't? Give me a nod. You have to fill out a little form on the plane. My favorite show at the moment is actually Border Security. And I watch it on YouTube. Is it? Yes. Come on, anyone else watch Border Security? It's an old show, and I love it. I don't know how I heard this thing. Do you guys listen to Light FM? The lady on Light FM was talking about how she watches it. I was like, this sounds great. And I started watching it, and I love it. I'm obsessed now. And so Border Security is all about people trying to smuggle in things to Australia that aren't meant to be here. Things like weapons, drugs, plants, animals, food that's not meant to be here. Just bizarre things. And there's all these things. You know, once I was coming back from overseas, I was doing a work trip, filming some things on a farm, and I had to show Border Security my hiking boots had been scrubbed clean with a toothbrush before I was let back into Australia because they didn't want any soil from international farms coming back into the country because one pest can cause havoc for the Aussie farming community. One drug smuggler can do terrible things for our city. So they need to make sure that they're secure in what they let in to the country and what they don't. Even just recently, my three-year-old daughter, she's two. She just turned three this weekend. So she's two. And she's going through the little airport scanners at Melbourne Airport. And she had a teddy with her. They pried it out of her little two-year-old arms. She's screaming, Bubby! And then they had to scan it just to make sure she wasn't smuggling in anything. They've got a sophisticated security system at the airport. They're checking everything. They know things that are in your pockets that you don't even know about. They see it all. They scan everything. And the thing is, they're scanning every item, every bag, everybody, and everything is getting scanned to make sure it's complying with and being obedient to the rules of the Australian government standard. And just like Melbourne Airport Security, we need to scan every thought, every daydream, every idea that's coming into our minds to make sure it's obedient and in line with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was watching Border Security and there was an Argentinian man. I'm Argentinian. Is there any other South Americans here or is it just me? Just me. I'm a Lone Ranger. It's okay. So there's this Argentinian man trying to get into the country. And I'm looking at him. It's like, I can assess my own people. And because in part of the show, you have to like judge whether the people are doing something dodgy or they're safe. Right? So I'm looking at him. I was like, he's totally safe. He's going to make it through. He's going to be one of the good stories. And he's just gone from seeing his mum. His mum helped him pack his bag. He's not looking like a bum. So I think he's going to make it. Am I allowed to say that? Someone laughs? So I think he's going to make it. But then he gets his bag checked. Everything seems fine. And then they start asking him questions. And they're like, he's answering everything. He's cool, calm, and collected. There's no sweat dropping off his face like other characters in the show. I'm like, he's going to make it. They scan his bag and then they realize the handle on his suitcase, one of the handles was straight and the other one was slightly not symmetrical with the other handle. There was just this slight imperfection. They question him about it. They're like, he's like, I don't know. It's a brand new bag. I think it's fine. I'm just here to have a holiday with my mate. Just say goodbye to my mom. She's packed my bag with me. The bag's brand new. I was like, let him through. Let him in. Airport security scan his bag again. They noticed this thing and they recognized that something was off. They took apart the handle. They found $500,000 worth of cocaine that he was trying to smuggle into the country. They had checked and scanned and recognized that something was a little bit off. They took that cocaine captive and they got rid of that guy and they did not let him into Australia. Young person, let me tell you, when you scan your thoughts that are coming through, you need to make sure that you're checking if something is even a little bit off. And if it is, make sure you take it captive, get rid of it, and don't let it into the country of your mind. Can I get an amen in this place? I've got a verse for you. So the Melbourne Security Airport, they've got scanners. They've got x-rays. They've got good old faithful sniffer dogs. They're making sure nothing's coming in that's not meant to be there. We've got a verse that we can scan every thought through. It's this. If you're taking notes down this morning, write it down. It's Philippians 4:8. Meredith is going to pop it on the screen. It says this, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. You can scan thoughts that are coming into your mind. Is it in line with this or not? Or is it more in line with this verse, Matthew 15:19? It says this, all these bad things begin in the mind. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual sins, stealing, lying, and insulting people. That's why we can't let it in, because it begins in the mind. Is it Matthew 15:19? Take it captive. Is it Philippians 4:8? Welcome to Australia, baby. You've found yourself at home. Come right on in. Point number one, if you're taking notes this morning, recognize. Everyone say point number two. Point number two, repent. Repent. You know, a number of years ago, I would get sick a lot. I was bedridden for 7 days on end, and I'd be like just stuck in there, and the doctors didn't know what was going on. I'd get sick for at least a week straight every couple of months, and it would happen again and again. It was like a huge percentage of my year was actually spent just sick and out of action. And around that time, I was starting to work and starting to make freelance videos for different small businesses, different wedding videos, that kind of thing. And I was starting out making videos as part of my work world. And I was sick at home 1 week, and I was listening to a Christian conference with a speaker called Caroline Leaf. And she was talking about how your thought life has the ability to impact your physical health. And she was talking about the need to repent for the wrong thoughts that are entering your body. I realized in that moment that every time I got sick, it was actually before a major work event. And I was getting sick because my thoughts were all negative. They were worst case scenario thinking when it came to my video work. It was all thoughts like, I'm not good enough to be doing this. I'm going to get found out as an imposter. I'm not that good at making videos. And it was all doom and gloom thinking. I'd never articulated this before, but I realized there was a pattern in my thinking. I watched this video and I started this Christian conference with a speaker. I started repenting for those wrong thoughts. You know what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. I was still sick that week. Mental health experts say that it takes about 30 days to start retraining your thoughts, rewiring your brain to build new patterns. And I kept repenting for negative doom and gloom thoughts about my work. Let me tell you, I never got sick again. Now, fast forward, I've never gotten sick like that, not even close. There is no negative thoughts running around in my mind about my work. I'm running a business, making corporate videos. God's blessed me in my business. He's given me the ability to produce wealth. I know it's a business that blesses the kingdom because I make videos for churches constantly. And it's something that God has called me to do. I'm so thankful that way back then, the Holy Spirit was illuminating lies that I had believed about myself so I could repent, bring them to him, and he could then help me step into the good works he had called me to do. I wonder what good works God has prepared in advance for you to do. but you're being limited by wrong thinking. You're being consumed by wrong thoughts that are just swirling up in your mind right now. I wonder what thoughts you might need to bring before the Holy Spirit and ask for Him to come and touch your thoughts. We need to take every thought captive and we need to make it obedient to Christ. And He's ready to forgive. Point number three, if you're taking down notes this morning, is this. Replace. Replace. I want to invite the keys up right now. Replace. Not only do we need to check and repent for any thoughts that aren't in line with God's will for our lives, but we need to also practice taking rogue thoughts captive and replacing them with Scripture. Our church painter. So we've got a big church facility and we've got this painter at church who like comes in and does all the painting, right? He's a contractor. He's in one day. He's an old man. We love him. And he's just busy away painting. And a guy comes in, the Sparky comes in. He's like, "Hey, mate, I'm the Sparky. I'm the electrician. I'm here to update all your projectors and your TVs." The painter says, "Come on in, mate. I'll help you." Whips out a ladder. The Sparky jumps up, pulls out a screwdriver, starts unscrewing all the projectors and the TVs, starts loading them into the van because he's going to service them, right? And the painter's helping him do it. Another guy comes out from our church who's on church staff and he's like, "What's this guy doing here? That's not our Sparky. That's not our electrician." And the painter's like, "What are you talking about? It was just some random dude who'd walked in on the off the street, claim in the streets of Dandenong, that's where our church is, we need help. And he's just claiming that he's meant to be there. He snuck right on in. We got the stuff out of his van and we quickly called up the proper Sparky to make sure we didn't need any maintenance. We had a Sparky. We had an electrician. You see, this guy was just sneaking his way in, trying to deceive us to make it look like he was meant to be there. But someone knew that that wasn't the case and they got rid of him quickly. You see, wrong thoughts trying to sneak their way into our minds, we need to be able to recognize them. We need to repent for them. And then we need to be able to replace them with Scripture, because this is what the thought says. I'm meant to be here. Everything's fine and normal. Everyone's having these thoughts. This is okay. It is okay for me to be here right now. But we need to be able to look at it through the lens, through the scanner of Philippians 4:8. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it praiseworthy? If it isn't, let's get rid of that thought and let's replace it with Scripture. Let's replace it with what Jesus says about our situation. Romans 12:2 says this, "Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." The ERV says this, "Let God change you with a new way of thinking." You know, the world says that your identity, the world has a pattern, right? Give me a nod if you agree. The world has a pattern of thinking. We see it on socials. We see it in the world around us. The world has a pattern of thinking. The world says your identity is tied up to your achievements, what you can accomplish. But God says your true identity comes from your position in His family. 1 John 3 says you're a child of God. The world says us girls have to look a certain way to have value. But Proverbs 31, come on, says charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The world says watch whatever you want, if it feels good do it, but 1 Corinthians 6:18 says run away from sexual sin. The world says you'll be happy when you're rich, but Matthew 6 says you can't serve both God and money. The world says you have to sort your future out yourself, but Psalm 37 says the Lord directs the steps of the righteous. Psalm 119, come on, says His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The world says if someone crosses you, that's it. But Ephesians 4 tells us we need to forgive because He forgave us. The world says you got to build your wealth whatever way you can. You got to hustle and it's up to you. But Deuteronomy 8:18 says it's the Lord who gives us the ability to produce wealth. The world says you're alone. No one's got your back. And you got to fend for yourself. Come on. But Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand and I will help you." You're not alone, young person. It's time to take captive every thought It's time to shut out the lies that the enemy is trying to bring into your thinking and start replacing it with the truth in the Word of God, because we know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 8 talks about how he's a liar. The enemy is a liar and he's looking for someone to devour. He's a liar like a spiky dressed up in, like a, just a man off the street dressed up in spiky clothes. That's not who he really is. He's disguising himself. The Bible talks about how he's the father of lies, and when he lies, he's speaking his native tongue. He's out to get you. He's out to deceive you. We need a security system in our minds, and the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He wants you to live in truth because he is truth. Young person, let me tell you this morning that if you don't know what to think about, if you're overwhelmed with your thoughts, you can think about one name that is greater than every other name. You can think about one thought that brings peace and clarity like no other thought can bring to you. And that name that you need to think about is the name of Jesus. Think about what he's done for you. Think about who he is. He's the mediator between us and God. Think about what he's done so you can have freedom. He lived a perfect life, the life you and I can never live. He died on a Roman cross. 3 days later, he rose again so you and I can have a relationship with him, so we can have peace, so we can have freedom, so we can have the sound mind that he's called us to have. He has peace for us. Come on, Romans 8:6 says the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Holy Spirit is peace. He wants your mind governed by the Holy Spirit so you can live in peace that transcends all understanding. Come on, Isaiah 26 says this: he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in him. He's got peace for you. He's got peace for your thoughts. He's got peace for your mind, but only if you trust in his name. Only if you trust in his name. Right across this place, I want us all to stand up to our feet right now without distracting the person next to you. And I ask you this morning, what is the state of your mind? With every head closed, you can close your head if you like. Well, we are talking about closing your head, aren't we? Every eye closed and every head bowed. I want to ask you, what's the state of your mind in this place? Is it doom and gloom? Is it worry and lust and concern and negative thinking about other people, negative thinking about yourself, negative thinking about your situation? Let me tell you, young person, it's time to take that thought captive. It's time to repent, and it's time to replace it with the truth and the Word of God that he has for you. So right across this place, I wanna ask you, if there's someone here today, if there's any people, and if this applies to you even a tiny bit, I want you to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit and respond, because this isn't between me and you. I don't mind what's going on in your world. I'm talking to the Holy Spirit for myself. But if you want to make a decision in this moment to say, God, I want you to highlight areas in my thinking that aren't in line with you, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to lift both hands out in front of you as a sign that's saying, God, I want you to come and touch my mind right now. This isn't between you and anyone else, but if you feel the Holy Spirit is saying to you, hey, there's a thought in your life that needs to come into alignment right now with the truth in my word, I'm gonna ask the Holy Spirit to come and illuminate different areas. And if that's you, you can just lift your hands up before you right now. He wants you to have a sound mind. He's giving you wholeness. He's giving you peace. He's giving you freedom. And he wants to do a work. I know there are people here who maybe you feel your heart is beating a bit faster. That's the Holy Spirit. He's saying, stop resisting me. And if you want to join, there's no one looking around. If you want to join these young people who have lifted your hands, I want you to walk in freedom. I want you to walk in peace. You can lift up your hands in front of you as well. Hands all over the place. What's he saying to you right now, young person? We're going to just take a moment and wait on him. Spirit, that you illuminate lies that they might have understood as truth, and we break agreement with them right now in the name of Jesus. We take captive every thought, and if it's not from you, King Jesus, we rebuke it. We break agreement with it, and we say right now, we take authority of it and say, you have to leave. You can't stay in this place. God, I pray you fill your young people with peace, with wholeness. There's one more. You can put your hands down. There's one more response I want to ask you. And I've been feeling this for a little while, and I wrote this message for you specifically for you guys this morning. And with every head bowed and every eyes closed, I want to ask if there's anyone here. There's images we see online constantly as young people today growing up in a digital era. And there are things, I don't know about you, but I know when you see an image, it can stick with you for years to come. I don't know if you've seen something on the news. I don't know if you've seen something recently. I don't know if someone else has shown you something, but there are sometimes memories that plague us. And I want to know if there's anyone here today who's saying, God, I don't want this image in my mind anymore. I want you to come and touch me, Lord, touch my mind. Give me a sound mind. If that's you, I just want you to put your hand on your heart right now. This is between you and God, and you want to bring it before God. You're saying, God, I don't want that image in my mind right now. I want to pray for you. God, I thank you for every young person right now that you're doing a work in them. Would you come and you bring health, wholeness, and a sound mind? You haven't given them a spirit of fear. You haven't given them a spirit of worry. You haven't given them thoughts that will bring distraction and turmoil to their thoughts and minds, but you've given them peace and a sound mind. And I just speak right now, healing in their thought life, in their minds, in their mental world. Thank you, Lord, that the enemy doesn't have a grip on them, but they have authority over that thing. In Jesus' name, we rebuke wrong thoughts. And we just bring these memories before you, Lord. We're saying, God, come and heal, come and touch, come and restore like only you can, King Jesus. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. And God, I pray that we would walk in soundness and you would show us how to have a security system, Lord God, that wouldn't allow thoughts of the enemy to come in, but only thoughts of you, and we'd magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen, amen. Can we give Jesus?